So before I get into the message this morning, I want you to stay seated. And I want to sing a little chorus up here that you all know. And just kind of release your inhibitions, your stresses, your, I hate to use the word, negative thoughts. But you know what I'm talking about. And just listen to what we're singing, okay? Thank you. Hopefully that kind of put you in the spirit, no pun intended. This morning, we're going to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. Now, oftentimes we think of the Holy Spirit as an it. What does he look like? Is he just an extension of Jesus? But he is more than that. He is a person, and he is God. And oftentimes I also wonder if we show him the respect that he deserves, and my guess is probably not. So, first off, according to Scripture, the first time that there is a mention of the Holy Spirit is in Genesis 1, verse 2. And if somebody would have asked me that just a week ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell them that. The earth is formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Let's open up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all three that make the one God and are all separately God. Hard for us to understand, but we recognize you as Father. We recognize the Son in Jesus Christ, and we recognize the Holy Spirit. We pray today we will learn a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and what he expects of us and what he actually does for us. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Okay, so what position does he hold? The Holy Spirit is equal to the Father and the Son. So in Matthew 29:19, Jesus commanded his followers and his disciples of all the nations, what are they supposed to do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't leave any of them out. He wanted to make sure that we recognize that all three are worthy of our praise. And that he is not just some kind of a little thing floating around the air doing what he wants. But he is always sent by the Father or Jesus Christ the Son. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, the Apostle Paul referenced the three-in-one God when he wrote, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So where is he? Well, in the Old Testament, it was a little bit different than in the New Testament. The Old Testament, he still is everywhere, sort of, but everywhere. David asked in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, this is what he wrote. "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me." And I don't know how many times in my life, and I'm assuming probably in yours, at least at one time or other, you have tried to escape the Lord through your actions or through your thought. And if you have the Holy Spirit living within you and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is always there to either convict you, to lead you, to give you information that you've already learned from what Jesus Christ has spoken to you. So there is no spot on the planet that the Holy Spirit is not there and is not going to not see you. So He is basically, He's omnipresent, and that is possible because He's not just another angelic spirit, but He is the Spirit. There's a huge difference. Oftentimes we think that angels can be everywhere at once. Well, they can't. They are sent individually, different circumstances. But the Holy Spirit isn't a spirit. He is the Spirit. You know, it's funny. I took public speaking in high school. You'd never know it. I remember I said, too much. I looked at my notes too much. And guess what? Nothing's changed. Okay. So actions of the Holy Spirit. And this is just a small list. There's so many more. When I was doing the study, I thought, oh my word, you could do a study on the Holy Spirit for years. There is so much entailed in who He is and what He does and what He expects. So first off, I'm going to read a small list of 11, okay? But these are all pretty impressive actions. All right, He dwells in the believers. That's found in John. And I have all of these different verses here. So if you want them afterwards, just come up to me. Probably if I read them all, it would be like 12 by the time we get out of here. So He also teaches and He brings to remembrance the things that Jesus taught us. He testifies about the truth and He testifies that Jesus Christ is Lord. He convicts us of sin. How many people here have experienced that? The Holy Spirit convicting you of sin. I really shouldn't do this, but I'm going to anyways. I tell you. He guides into all truth. He inspires Scripture, and He speaks through it. He calls to the ministry. He sends forth His servants. He forbids certain actions. He intercedes for us, and He comforts us. How many times have we, or let me just ask this. There ever been a time in your life when you prayed to the Lord, and you were going through such a miserable time in your life, through different trials, through different pains, that you couldn't even put into words what you wanted to pray about? Now, this is kind of an interactive sermon. So has that ever happened to any of you before, where you could not express the pain or the desires that you had? Well, the Holy Spirit speaks for us. He knows what we're trying to say. He talks to the Heavenly Father for us. And it's just, for me to know that is a very comforting feeling, because even when I don't know what to say or know how to pray or know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit kind of does that for us. And of course, like I say, also He comforts us. So do we obey the Holy Spirit when He asks us to do certain things, when He reminds us to do certain things, when He prompts us to do certain things, or do we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit? Grieving refers to our actions that hinder the Spirit from being Himself, from being what He could be in us. And quenching the Spirit refers to our actions that hinder the Spirit from doing what He could through us. 1969, a really big hit came out. I don't expect anybody under 30 years old, if there's anybody here under 30, to know this. Who knows about Frank Sinatra? And does anybody remember the song, I Did It My Way, right? One of the lines in that was, regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. That's right, Bill, you're over 30. Well, I got to tell you, Frank Sinatra has me beat, because he had so few, he didn't have to mention them. Well, I've got mentionables that I'm going to mention this morning. And they are my own failures, and I'll just tell you what they are. All right. Some of you have heard this story before. I regret a circumstance that happened to me, and it was all because of the cause of me, about 30 years ago. How long have we been at church now, Bill? About 32 years? All right. So it was probably 30 years ago, Larry Giard and I went to an auction in Manchester. He loved gun auctions, and I did too. And he said, Butch, you want to go? I said, I'd love to. So it was a Saturday morning. I remember it like it was yesterday. Very drizzly, rainy, chilly. It was probably right around this time of year, although there was a little bit of snow on the ground. We were waiting in line. We were probably a good 80 yards from the entrance of the auction house. And I saw a gentleman pull up in a white, nice white car, Beamer or Volvo. And he had a flat tire, and he was up against the curb, probably from here, the parking lot away from us. And the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, oftentimes he will prompt you. He will do things that are out of the ordinary that you wouldn't normally think of on your own. And we know some of the things that he wants us to do through Scripture in obedience, but then sometimes he prompts us, gives us a little extra nudge. And he was telling me, Butch, here's your opportunity. Go help this gentleman change his tire. He had a suit on. And you could see, I'm not a great tire changer, but I can do it. But you could see he had no clue. It was before cell phones. And he kept saying, go, this is your opportunity. Help him. And by helping him, it'll give you an opportunity to share with him what I have done for him. And the excuses that went through my mind were these. And again, I remember it so clearly. Oh, man, it's raining in puddles. It's miserable. I'm going to get dirty. It's cold. Secondly, when the doors open in a half hour, I'm going to lose my spot in line. I'm already 80 yards away. I'm never going to find Larry because there's hundreds of people out here. I'm not going to do it. To this day, I wonder about that man's salvation. Because I not only quenched the Holy Spirit, I grieved him. But I have been forgiven, so that I'm thankful for. But I am a work in progress, and he is constantly working on me. So grieving the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Ephesians 4. If you have your Bibles, do me a favor and turn there. Ephesians 4:29 through 32. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So there's a list of things that sadden the Holy Spirit. And I must tell you that often I fall into some of those categories. Daily, I can guarantee I fall in at least one of them. Matter of fact, fall time is a great time for me to fall into one of those things. I travel to Bennington 4 days a week, and as far as Wilmington, 1 day a week on the job. And I have a couple of choice words, those being idiot and moron. So when people come to look at our beautiful leaves that they can't get 2 hours away if they just wait another week, there's been a lot of construction on Route 9, all right, all the way over to Wilmington. All year long, it's been pretty rough, and you can get caught in traffic and have to wait for 5-10 minutes to pop. And yet, it's amazing to me how people drive so impatiently and recklessly. So when I see those people that cause or could cause other drivers or myself harm, I let out one of those two words. And I get really angry. But you know what? God is working on me. Friday, actually, on the way home, there was about 8 or 10 cars in front of me. And they couldn't go anywhere. There's a flagger up ahead. It says one lane road ahead, you know. And this guy passed me. He's on my tail. I'm going 40, which I'm supposed to be going along with everyone else. And he passed me. I don't know how fast he was going, just so he could get in front of me behind the other 9 or 10 cars. And then he had to slam on his brakes because he realized, oh, I have to stop. There's a stop sign right there with the guy holding it. So please just tell me I'm not the only one that gets frustrated like that. I can tell right there. So God is working on me, and I know I get angry, and I know I use abusive language, and I know I don't have patience, but things are getting better. And when that guy did that, I caught, the Holy Spirit caught me. And I thought, well, you know what? This is how my brain works. Maybe he has an emergency he has to get to, and I don't know it. Maybe his wife is sick. Maybe his child, just something happened. And we really don't know. And I think for me, if I remind myself of those things, it helps release a little of that frustration so I don't call people idiot, moron. So, all right. So we know that foul and abusive language, Ephesians 4:29, which we just read, makes the Holy Spirit sad. Obscene language, profanity, those little shady jokes that you might tell. All of those things make the Holy Spirit sad. We grieve him. Hebrews 12:15-17, that's our next verse. So again, those of you with Bibles, if you have them, Hebrews 12:15-17. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, because by it many are defiled. And there is no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. So we have to remember our actions, our bitterness, and our lack of repentance causes, it grieves the Holy Spirit. So please, let's forgive, all right? That's not always an easy thing to do. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about these bitter people, and I've had bouts with that also in my life. But some people just like to be mad. They like to be angry. They kind of like to wallow in their own mire, so to speak. It gives them attention. But unfortunately, those bitter people like to share that. They like to, my mother used to tell me this all the time, misery loves, right, and boy does it ever. So if you're around a really bitter person, my suggestion to you is run. You don't need the extra drama in your life. Let them be bitter on their own. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them. But don't get caught in that trap with them, okay? Very important. Also, rage speaks of a person who is easily angered and who raises his voice, shouting and screaming. I used to have a boss like that. And that was pretty hard to deal with. Anybody ever have to deal with anybody who enjoys... Oh, wait, there's a hand. I see that hand. Yeah. And slander is speaking evil of others behind their backs. And malicious behavior speaks of ill will and plotting evil against someone. So everybody here, at least it's my guess, and I want you to think about this right now. Think about a time that someone has hurt you, either physically, emotionally, maybe economically, or otherwise. I think everybody here has all experienced a taste of hurt in our lives brought on by someone else. Have we wanted to take vengeance? Have we wanted to do something to those people because they hurt us so much we think that they should be punished? I bet you everybody here can think of someone at some point in their life has been brought through the mud, dragged through the mud. Maybe you didn't even deserve it. And to this day, you still hold scars from that. It's easy to want vengeance. It's easy to say, you know what, they deserve it. I hope blank. I hope this. I hope that happens to them. We've got to be very, very careful. What we need to do instead is to believe God when he says, vengeance is mine. And if you think about it, none of us deserve God's grace. None of us deserve to be forgiven. So what we need to do in those cases, and they may still be fresh scars to you. Things could have happened years ago to you, and you still may harbor those hurts. But you've got to learn to forgive. Because even if you think they deserved it, we're no different. We have been forgiven. The Bible tells us that we need to forgive others. So when you think about things that you might want to say to someone out of hurt, out of anger, in so doing, you would quench the spirit. I want you to think of this acronym. Oh, would you look at that? Think. T-H-I-N-K. All right, T. For those who have pens and have their little announcement sheet, if you want to write this down, great. If not, it's not a hard one to forget. T, is it truthful? Are you speaking the truth to the individual? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? And that's really where I fail a lot. I think, how much of the stuff out of my mouth is not inspiring? It's not really good. That's something I really need to work on. N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? So if you have an issue with someone, you have an anger problem with them, they hurt you in the past, before you open your lips, think about what you're saying. That may cause you to not grieve the Holy Spirit. It may cause you to not make him sad in your actions of not saying something. So instead of speaking evil of others, we're to be kind to each other. And you might say, but they don't deserve it. That may be true, but neither do you or I. But God still forgives us. And matter of fact, in Ephesians, Paul concludes by saying, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So again, we need to be forgiving of others. Otherwise, we're grieving the Spirit. So how does the Spirit minister to us? He's often described as light. He shines into dark places of the heart and he convicts us of sin. And in John 16, I promise this is the last one I'm going to ask you to turn to. John 16, 7 through 11. Now this is Jesus speaking concerning the Holy Spirit. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, capital H, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. So we understand what this is all about, right? Jesus is telling them that he's not going to be with them forever on this earth. And he's going to send a helper. That helper is capitalized. The H is capitalized. The helper is who? The Holy Spirit. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged, which was Satan, by the way. When Jesus died on the cross, he basically, it's over for Satan. Has no hope. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So we can see all of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. My guess is, if Jesus died and did not send the Holy Spirit, we probably would have forgotten all that Jesus taught over the years, over the couple thousand years. But fortunately, the Holy Spirit is able to remind us of the things that Jesus taught, remind us of the heart of God and the grace of Jesus Christ. And for that, I'm really, really thankful. He's a lamp that will illuminate God's words, teaching what is true and showing the truth to be precious. That is found in Corinthians 2, 10 through 14. The Spirit throws a spotlight on Christ so we can see his glory. And that was in John. John is full of information about the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you to read it because it is really encouraging. But I can't imagine how many books have been written on the Holy Spirit just out of the book of John. So he exposes us, or he shines the light on us in three different ways. One is he exposes our guilt, and we all understand that. Those of us who know Jesus have been there. And some of you may have not even accepted Jesus as your Savior, repented of your sins, and asked him to forgive you, and you cannot, and yet you're grieving the Holy Spirit and pushing him and rejecting him. I would encourage you not to do that. He is encouraging you to follow him and to become a child of his for a reason. It's because he loves you. He also works to reveal truth, and he works to reveal the glory of Jesus Christ. When we close our eyes to this light, we're guilty of resisting the Spirit, we're guilty of grieving the Spirit, and we're guilty by quenching the Spirit. And there might be slight differences between these three terms, but they all speak of the same basic reality. When we refuse to see and appreciate what the Spirit means to show us, that is when we grieve the Spirit and we quench the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you something through His Word and you are not listening to Him, you better pay attention. Everybody here has had someone that they loved or love in their life. And we've always wanted to do something for those individuals because we love them. Not because we're told we have to. The Holy Spirit has done nothing but positive things for us. Positive things for this whole body over the years. Let's not reject Him and let's not quench His Spirit. Let's not grieve Him. He does not deserve it. I told Brenda downstairs, you know, I don't know how long this sermon's going to last. It took many, many hours to put it together, and I went through it last night. And I thought, oh, man, this is it. It's already over. So I told her it might be a short service this morning. Be prepared as a teacher, and I really felt bad about that. But I would encourage, once again, everybody to think before you say things. Think before you act. Use that acronym if it helps. But let's concentrate on giving the Holy Spirit the praise He deserves, because He is God. Okay, hopefully that helps. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Your Holy Spirit. We pray that today's sermon will help us recognize the things that we do that grieve You or quench Your Spirit. Help us not to just ignore You when You are trying to speak with us. Help us not to reject Your calling or the pull of obedience that You are trying to direct us in. Whether it be our actions in life, whether it be serving You, Father, help us to listen and to, in faith, step out and recognize that You have called us to do particular things, and You will equip us to do that in faith. We give You thanks for everybody here today, and I love them all. I pray for the best, and that You will be glorified. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's a wonderful message. Very practical. It's great when a message is both convicting and encouraging. In our hymnals, number 252, there's a sweet, sweet Spirit. Let's stand and sing with us. There's a sweet, sweet Spirit in faith, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with Your love. And for these blessings, we lift our without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived. We shall rejoice. Okay, you all know it now. Sing it out. There's a sweet.